Right, with my brother, Professor Gus Palmos.
Professor.
You know, always learning. It's such a big pleasure to sit down with you. You know, you've been training with me, like, I mean, since pretty much I started the gyms here in Los Angeles, you know.
Right.
So I was like, hey, let's hang out and let's talk a little bit just on some of the jiu-jitsu journey, but then also just want to get to, it's always nice because I get to know, and the students also here at Legacy, and they get to know a little bit about you too. So, yeah.
Yeah, honored to be here.
Like you were just telling me you went to film school.
Yeah. So I went to film school.
Where are you from originally?
From the Philippines. So okay. Grew up in the Philippines.
Wow, you grew up there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then I came here our first year in high school. But in the Philippines, they don't have eighth grade. So they turned me back to eighth grade before I went to high school. So I came here.
So that made you do eighth grade again.
Eighth grade again, right. So I immigrated here from the Philippines.
Your parents, you're like, we're going to the U.S. They had an opportunity to. Life was tough, right?
Right. So my dad was actually a colonel in the Philippine military.
Oh wow!
And so, he wrote the thesis for his Command General Staff College, the anti-insurgency thesis.
Wow.
Against the communist and at that time the Moro Liberation Front. And so he was at high target profile. So our lives were always in danger, you know. I had three bodyguards in school all the time.
Wow.
In fact, two of my bodyguards were killed in front of their families. And so when that thing happened, my dad said, you know what, it's time for us to leave. So that's why we became here.
And so they got you political, like, asylum?
Political asylum, right.
You have brothers, sisters?
Only child.
Only child.
Yeah.
Wow. So you guys made it over, and you guys came to Los Angeles first?
We did. So we initially immigrated to West Covina.
West Covina.
Yeah. So not too far from here. Pretty much grew up in that area, West Covina, then Roland Heights, then Chino Hills. Mm. But I moved to the Valley for college in the 90s, late 90s, and I've been in Northridge since.
Yeah. How was the transition from Philippines to the U.S.?
You know, it
did you speak English before you got here?
We did. And so in the Philippines, the method of learning in school is always English. Mm. So, and I went to private school. So that transition was pretty easy. But of course, the lifestyle's different, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Are there things that you miss about Philippines?
You know, in the Philippines, you know, life was more relaxed. And of course, you have some of the amenities there that you don't have here. You know, you have drivers, you have maids. So that was a transition. But otherwise, I've been here long enough. You know, I actually spent majority of my life in the United States now, that, you know, I don't really miss it anymore. Yeah.
You're in the military, right? The reserves.
I am.
You're American. I mean, I thought you were born here.
Yeah. Kind of followed my dad's footsteps. I always handed that in me to join the military, but I didn't do it at a young age, you know. But yeah, took the opportunity later.
So you guys moved to West Covina, Chino Hills, and then you came to the Valley to go to college?
Yeah. Went to Cal State Northridge.
Mm-hmm. And did you know what you wanted to do?
You know, when I was young, I had, you know, my wife says I have ADD.
I hear you. That's why jiu-jitsu is good for us, right?
Right.
It allows us to be focused. And,
right.
Okay, I can do this. I can stay focused.
Right. And so I wanted to be a filmmaker.
Filmmaker.
Yeah. So I wanted to be the first, the next Martin Scorsese, you know, the next Stanley Kubrick. So I went to film school, Cal State Northridge. I also did some classes, at AFI. And then I worked in the industry for about 7 or 8 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So worked on a couple of TV shows, worked in a lot of indies. I also shot my own feature film.
But oh, you did?
Yeah, we ran out of money. We shot on film.
What was it about?
It was goth. So it was about a a cop basically trying to solve murders, right? And it's a satanic cult, and he's trying to solve these murders. But what he doesn't know was the fact that, and this is the whole catch at the end, he's actually the son of Satan. You know, much like Jesus was the son of God, well, he's the son of Satan. But the whole thing is, unlike Jesus Christ, who knew he was the son of God, the son of Satan would not know that, right? So he wasn't aware of who he was. But so this cult who kept killing people were trying to draw him in, get him closer to the investigation until at the end of the movie, they revealed to him, like, hey, man, this is who you are, you know? Like, kind of like The Omen, but with a twist.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And you guys are able to finish it because you ran out of money?
Ran out of money. We shot on 16 millimeter, and we had pretty big sets. So Hollywood Roosevelt, you know, it's pretty landmark.
Yeah, yeah.
No permit, daytime on a Sunday. I called the EVS manager, you know, the cleaning person. Say, hey, man, you know, I'll give you like $5,000. We're going to go in that ballroom. You're going to pretend we're not here. Boom, I got it. And then we shot at a number of clubs too. You know, what I would say is
hustling.
I'd call the bartender, hey, bro, your club's closed tomorrow, right? Okay, what about I put $3,000 in your pocket? You can even serve alcohol. You let me shoot there for 10 hours. So we were getting these locations with no permits at all. Yeah. Pretty interesting.
Yeah. What would you have done different now?
You know, I had too many distractions then, which kind of led me to jiu-jitsu, you know? I didn't have it wasn't a good, healthy lifestyle, you know, because if you're in that...
You stay up all night, right?
Stay up filming. All night, you know, doing stupid stuff. I would have probably been more disciplined, you know? I mean, I was so focused on the lifestyle, you know, the Hollywood lifestyle, even though I didn't even make it yet, as opposed to the craft itself. You know, I had great ideas, you know, I love film, but I wasn't focused enough. It's all about discipline. That's what I tell my kids. You know, when you do something, it has to be, you have to be disciplined. Otherwise, you're never going to accomplish anything.
Is that what got you to go to the military?
Part of it.
Yeah. Besides your heritage, your family.
Right. Yeah.
And so you did that, and what made you transition careers? What got you out of that?
A part of it was the kids too. You know, we have the two kids, and you know, film is very cyclical.
Yeah.
You know, plus you got the lifestyle, and then you're always unemployed after a shoot. It just wasn't for me, and that was the time that I decided. You know what? Prior to going to film school, I had a marketing degree.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So I went back to that, become a headhunter, you know, recruiting executives, which is what I do now. But for Providence.
Okay.
And so that's kind of how it brought me back.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And then that's what you do now.
Yeah.
And how did you find the National Guard? What was the transition to going into the National Guard serving?
So that was like over a decade, you know, ago. You know, part of me was always wanted to be in the military, to wear the uniform. Always wanted to be either in the military or law enforcement.
Because I see you with the suits, you know, and then on the weekend, sometimes I'm like, he's in the military. What's going on? And then during the week, he's also doing jiu-jitsu.
Like, right. It's all for Facebook, professor. I have to have something to post, you know. People always ask me, man, what do you do? You know, I mean... You're in the military, and then you go to noon class.
You're on a plane sometimes.
Right,
you know?
Right. Literally, I've gone from rolling here at noon.
Uh-huh.
We're done by 1:30.
Yeah.
And I have a 3 p.m. flight to go to Portland.
Wow.
And bam, post, you know? So I'm on the mats, and boom, I'm in a meeting at night.
You get up. Let's talk about discipline. Like, so do you feel that do you think being in the military helped you become more disciplined in your life?
It did, and just everything that I started doing, you know, after I got out of the film industry, and you kind of look back at your life, you know, I wasn't being healthy. I found jiu-jitsu, right? And so you started thinking about, okay, these are the steps, the missteps that I took, right? And you reflect, when you reflect back on your life, it only comes down to one thing, you know? It's all about discipline. You know, you could be the smartest guy in the room. You could have all the talents, but if you have no discipline, you're not going to accomplish anything, right? That's single-mindedness.
Yeah, follow through.
Follow through, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's that's it. That's really it, right? Never giving up, being consistent.
Right.
That's everything.
Right.
Getting your black belt. Yeah. Right? I mean, you're so busy with your family and and all your work and black belt. You know, it's, you know, start. You started late. You started did all these things, right? Different. You know, later, a little later in life, right? With going to the National Guard and these other things. You know, that's it.
Right.
Yeah, and your family, right? You think about your family, like that. For me, that motivates me,
right?
To do well and to, you know, do a good job, right? To follow through,
right?
Yeah. So you started jiu-jitsu, and what are some of the things that you felt improving within when you started doing jiu-jitsu?
You know, the jiu-jitsu is a grind. You know, if you recall my black belt speech, right? Mm-hmm. It's humility.
What was your first, do you remember your first day?
In jiu-jitsu ever?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So my journey actually started in 04. So
I 04.
I didn't do jiu-jitsu back then. And it's funny that, you know, MMA and jiu-jitsu, it's always interconnected, right?
Especially in the early days, right?
In the early days, right? So I started in this small gym. It's called Northridge MMA. Mm. It was an Eric Paulson school.
Oh, wow.
CSW, right? So the main instructor was Elaine, a Filipino guy. But the Muay Thai instructor was Julio Chana Sr. So Junior's dad.
Wow.
That's the guy that started Sexton.
Wow.
So from 04 to 08, it was just Nogi, MMA, and Muay Thai. That's basically what I did. And another trivia, Professor George's last fight in Glendale, remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Against Lainel.
Yeah.
He was my training partner.
No way.
At that school.
Wow.
Yeah, and then Nico, he did, another school. And, of course, Sexton came out of that school, too. Mm-hmm. So that's how I got started. But first day in jiu-jitsu, my first instructor was actually, believe it or not, Steve Baca. Professor Steve.
No way.
Yeah. So
wow.
Steve had a school in Sherman Oaks. It was Gerson's affiliate.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah. So it was Sherman Oaks, Gracie Barr, Sherman Oaks. Mm-hmm. He was still a blue belt then, but he was like a 7-year blue belt or something like that. And I remember my first day, I couldn't even put the key in the keyhole, you know, in the car. Because, you know,
your hands are so tired.
Yeah, your hands are so tired. You're spasting. Couldn't breathe. I told my wife, babe, I'm still trembling like an hour later, you know. That was my first night ever in jiu-jitsu.
So that was after you were in the military, you went into the National Guard and did those kinds of things, right?
Yeah, well, it
kind of same time?
Around same the same time.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Yeah.
So you got the martial arts piece and you got the military piece, right?
Yeah.
Interesting. To balance you out, to get you focused, right?
Right.
That's interesting. I remember my first day, like a guy arm barred me like 10 times. I couldn't believe it, you know?
Right.
Let's go again. Right. That's what got me. Like, I never stopped thinking about it after that.
Right.
Do you remember somebody catching you in something or just being so tired that you couldn't move?
Well, I felt the tiredness, but just being caught, you know, I think I got tapped like maybe 15 times that
15
night.
15 times.
Yeah. You just don't even know. You don't even realize where it's coming from, you know?
You're just destroyed. You couldn't put the key into the keyhole.
Right. When you didn't even pick up the bag, you know? Yeah.
You're like, Ali, like,
I think I'm having a heart attack.
And then you went back.
And then I went back.
And you never stopped.
Never stopped. Yeah.
Wow. And then in Encino, we came into Encino. We went, you were in Encino. And, I guess we're all over, right? Like, pretty much, you know. We've been training ever since. Like, I started the gym in 2009. Beginning 2009, end of 2008.
Right.
Yeah, I remember I met Steve Baca too at that time, and it was different times, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that. Remember the forums, the BJJ forums?
BJJ
back
forums,
then,
right? That's so, it was before social media.
It was
right?
before social media, and that's the only way you can have discussions about BJJ. And so, I left Steve's school and went to Gerson's because I worked in Torrance. Mm. So it's a long drive. I said, you know, it's on the way home. I'll stay here, and then I saw that ad, you know,
In the forum.
In the forum, right? So, you know, UFC fighter, world champion, two world champions.
I think Mark Bradford posted that for
what
me.
What was it? Probably.
I was right, you know, right. Everybody helps me out, you know.
Right, right. So I was so excited. So I ran home. I told my wife, babe, check this out.
Leonidas heard about it too.
Yeah,
he was
yeah.
there those free trainings.
The
you
free
know?
Trainings, mm-hmm. right?
That week.
Yeah, yeah, and
that's
then
that's crazy, right? Right? All those years back then.
Right.
2000 end of 2008.
2008, 2009. Yeah, yeah. I remember walking in, and you know the gym was still small before the expansion, and then it was Tirata Brian.
Yeah.
Yeah, working the counter.
Yeah.
And then all he told me was, Gus, you got like two world champions here, man. You know, you have to sign up. And boom, I was just sold, you know?
And he never stopped.
Never stopped. Never left.
What made you persevere? What made you stay in it?
You know, it's both mental and physical, mm-hmm. you know. To me, it's the most humbling experience, right? And it's the most rewarding, too, you know. Of course, there's the physical part that keeps you healthy. You know, it's exercise. You mm-hmm. know, I'm one of those guys that I can't get on a treadmill. It's too boring for me, you know?
Yeah.
So it's
same here. Yeah, I understand. Right?
So it's that physical challenge, but more so the mental challenge, you know? There's always going to be someone better than you. There's always going to be someone stronger than you, more technique than you. And it's humbling. Every time you get caught, but just keep going until today. Even as a black belt, there's some guys who will give me a hard time, and you know, you put your head up, ego out the door, and
that's it, right?
Take it.
Makes you a better person.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you compare your training from, you know, the first couple of years to now?
You know, I think I have better pace now. You know, I can pace the matches. Mm. You know, you have some controls, you have some grips, and I can slow it down. You know, I think when I was younger. And it was a bit bigger back then too. It was all about scrambling. You know, it's all about strength. These days, you know, if someone, you know, overtakes me, I can just chill. You know, I know I'm not gonna get caught. So I think it's more relaxed now, more mental and just slowing the game down.
Yeah. Like would it be fair to say like less I guess when you're younger, right, like more ego and trying to prove things. Well, for me it was, you know, but just the more lifestyle, more right. lifestyle. You want to be healthy, right? We were talking about, like,
right.
you know, your health is our number one asset, right?
Right.
And when you don't have your health, you know, that's it, right?
Right, right.
And so you think it's more focused, like health first, like?
No, absolutely, absolutely. You know, it's BJJ life, Matt life, you know?
BJJ lifestyle.
Lifestyle,
yeah,
yeah, yeah,
yeah. 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 I compare it. I remember what I was thinking of myself, right? When yeah, just like a lot of, well, you're trying to, when I was younger, I was trying to prove, but as now it's like a lifestyle, way of life, and it's so beautiful.
Right.
The art, right? And the right. camaraderie and the friendships, and it keeps you healthy, right?
Right.
Especially with all this, the craziness of the last couple of years, right?
Yeah, yeah. The last 2 years has been too crazy.
Yeah. How is like your body holding up and you know, I remember we're like, yeah, I always tell the story about, you know, you're saying, man, my I went to the doctor and
right.
my shoulder, they said I'm gonna need shoulder surgery, and
right.
I was learning, you know, starting to learn a lot of the tack fit things and
right.
and the body mechanics and things like that, and I was like, let me see, and I would check your I just wanted to see some of the stretches, and I saw your lats were like crazy tight. You know, you
right.
had been training jiu-jitsu for a lot of years.
Maybe right.
you were even a black belt already.
Right.
And I was like, man, your lats are like really tight. Like, stretch them out like all week, and then let me know how you feel.
Right.
And you did it, and you're like, my shoulder doesn't hurt anymore.
Right.
Do you remember that?
I do. And I think it's godsend, Professor. Everything that I learned from TACFIT, you know, the interconnectivity of all the muscles, right? your point, I have I have too many injuries, right? So I have bursitis and impingement, both shoulders. And in 2018, if you remember, I went to an ortho, and the top of my
hip
was completely flattened. There's no more curvature. And they said, you know what? You need a hip replacement, right? And so I started taking TacFit, but it's those stretches, right? It's the movements. Creating space and, you know, rotating joints. Your joints.
Changing out the liquids, right?
Right. Yeah. And all the cool down movements.
Releasing really tension in the body.
Right. So that really helped, you know, And
Now your hips are okay and no hip replacement.
You know, I don't even get shots anymore.
Yeah, I used to get the what kind of shots?
Cortisone shots.
Cortisone shots.
Every few months. I couldn't even lift my
your
arms.
Hand over your head.
Yeah. Now, you know, if I feel this tight, boom. Stretch the lats.
It's so crazy. I mean, you're in the healthcare industry, right? And it's just like, it's crazy. You know, I mean, 2000, like almost 10 years ago, they told me I was going to need double knee replacement in a couple of years, you know?
Right.
And I mean, I'm doing a lot of things, right?
Right.
And I'm fine. I knew the movements, what to do, you know?
Right.
But it's if I would have listened, I mean, who knows in a few years what technologies we're going to have, right?
Right.
To heal ourselves, you know? But like, it blows my mind that we can heal ourselves with movement, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be like surgery or some kind of, you know, drugs even, right?
Right. It's amazing. I've been, you know.
I love that. For me, it's so empowering because, not to interrupt you, it's just the to have some tools to help you guys, you know, help my students. And instead of somebody, oh, my shoulder hurts. Oh, sorry to hear that. And then you go to the doctor and you believe, right? Because, you know, different, right? Depends who it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then you believe and like, okay, I have to get shoulder surgery. And then maybe that's not in your best interest, right?
Right. In some cases, after the surgery, the surgery doesn't repair the problem anyway.
Yeah, exactly. What were you about to say before that?
No, I was just going to, you know, agree with what you just mentioned. Yeah. You know, it's all about the movements and being able to heal yourself naturally. Yeah.
Did I ever tell you my story about what happened with me and how I got, like, the thing I never forgot? Because Scott Sonnen, the type of founder, right? He helped me through one of my UFC fights.
Mm.
And so the one thing I never, you know, I learned a lot of things, but the one thing that really impacted me was I had somebody suplex me in training, you know,
and then I
couldn't move my neck. If somebody touched me, even it was just, you know, I had pain all day long.
Oh wow!
And I had a fight coming up, you know,
right?
And you know, it's super stressful, you know. So and he's like, okay, and he showed me some movements to do, like move my neck side to side, and it was that one thing that I never forgot about. And I knew it was legit, you know, and I did the movements, and instead of it being 4 to 6 weeks and then taking pain pills and things like that, I was able to heal myself like in a week.
Oh, wow.
Every time I had pain or, you know, you hurt something in your body, like there's pain there. And so I would just do the movements that he told me to do, you know, and then you're disciplined with it. Right. And then, man, I got better in a week.
Right.
And I was like, wow, this is like, I can heal myself with movement. And that was the one thing that I never forgot. And I was like, man, I want to learn this. But there wasn't a spot to learn it at, you know?
Right.
And so once I got a second chance to learn it, when I went back to the certification, I was like, okay, this is it. I get a second chance, you know, for myself, but also I want to share this with, you know, with you guys and my students. And like, you know, it's really cool because I, you know, a lot of people don't do the things, right? But we, you know, like, oh, my shoulder hurts, right? And you're talking about I have to get shoulder surgery. And we stretch out your lat, right?
Right.
And you did it, right? You know, you did it. And 1 week later, you were like, my shoulder doesn't hurt anymore.
Right. And sometimes it's instant, you know?
Instant.
Sometimes it's instant. You know, sometimes you just, this hurts a bit. And you just do, you know, lat stretches. And literally the pain scale goes down.
Yeah.
Within seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And your hips, right? Your hip too. Right. That's crazy surgery, right?
Right.
Yeah. So I want that's why I'm so motivated to like your story and just, you know, the experiences I've had with like a lot of students, you know.
Right.
It's just like, it's a game changer, right?
It is.
It's a game changer. Little by little, your life in a way with losing the mobility, like surgeries and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You lose, right, a little bit of yourself, you know, I think each time. And like you said, like sometimes it doesn't heal the problem, right?
Right.
And it creates maybe something else too.
Right.
Yeah. and we get to hang out a lot, right? We get to, you know, have get-togethers and stuff, and it's really cool after all these years, you know, to kind of do that. And we talk old stories, you know, about because right. you've been through a lot of transitions, right, over the right. years, you know, and yeah. What's that? We're at 2021, right? And so you've been around since 2000. You know, really to the end of 2008, beginning of 2009, right? Yeah. right? And you know, I moved out to here from New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
For a couple of years, I was just fighting, right? And when you first came in, I was fighting MMA,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I was still really active,
right?
And so, what's the difference now? Then you know, how many years ago was that? 12 years ago.
What do you mean by
like what's the difference? Just like, you know, like just the gym and mm-hmm. your training and just right. the environment, you know?
Right, right.
I think it's interesting to hear that.
You know, one reason why I, you know, I've stayed all these years, you know, it's loyalty, but it's also a safe space. Mm. You know, people respect, and I think they obviously get that from you. Mm. You know, I remember nights in Encino, I was rolling with Gooch. Remember Gooch?
Yeah, Rob Gooch.
And you know, he was already MMA then. You mm-hmm. know, so you know, they have good movement. And then Rob caught me in a heel hook. You know, and I was still no stripe blue belt. I think I was like a 1 month into my blue belt, right? And then I remember you because you were sitting on the floor. You said, "Hey, Rob, no heel hooks on newer guys, right? Because they don't really know how to defend that."
You're probably training with the gi too.
right, with the gi. And then right there I knew, this is a spot for me, you know, because it's a spot where if you're MMA guy, if no gi guy, if you're a competitor, you can be safe in that environment. Mm. But if you're like me, you know, 9-to-5er, weekend warrior, it's also a safe environment for everybody, right? Mm. And so I think nothing's changed. What changes, of course, the way I roll, right? But the friendships on the mats, and of course with your guidance, and there's a camaraderie, a brotherhood, mm-hmm. right? Even with the other guys with Encino who don't train anymore, you know, like Raul, and some of the guys like Brian Hummel,
Shaqib, right?
Yeah. I'm still in touch with them.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, the brotherhood in the mats, you kind of like get that bond, you know. And I think that's why I'm still here.
Yeah. You see yourself doing this for the rest of your life?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Until I can't walk anymore.
Yeah. Why?
It's just, it's that mental thing too. And it's that physical thing where it keeps me healthy. Mm. But it's just a lifestyle. You know, I don't know what I would be doing without jiu-jitsu.
How many kids do you have?
Two.
Two girls, right?
No. So you met my girl.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but I actually have a son.
Oh, okay.
But not with Alistair.
Oh, okay.
So he moved out a long time ago, right after high school. So you don't really see me post about him.
Yeah.
Except for, you know, Christmas and Thanksgiving.
Okay, okay,
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So he's 24.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. So it's being in the, you know, being just your background is super interesting. Like I was saying, like you're in the military picture, and then you're on the plane with the suit, and then jiu-jitsu mat, and
right.
you know, like it's super interesting. And so it's always so nice to, you know, get to talk to you guys and go a little bit deeper and ask these life questions and
right.
like what makes you tick and how you think.
Yeah, there's always, you know, I watch your podcast, and there's always something new you learn about a person, you know, that's something you don't even know about. Yeah, I mean, everyone has a very interesting story,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's why we're all here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your favorite memory in jiu-jitsu? One of your favorite memories? You can just have one, right?
Well, if it was just one, it would be my black belt promotion. I think that I've accomplished a lot of things in my life, you know. My degrees and whatever I do, but the jiu-jitsu black belt was to me, if I was going to take something when I die, it's probably my biggest accomplishment, you know. It's both, it's emotional and it's the most humbling, you know, because when you're with the degrees, you know, you just study, right? It doesn't really take anything out of you. It's you study, you fail, whatever, right? Even with your job, you know, you either get promoted or you don't. Here, you know, when you're getting beat down, you know, it just draws on your psyche, you know, it's like, wow, and this is humbling. And so I think that would be my biggest takeaway. And that's why I'm so happy when I got my wife to do jiu-jitsu, yeah. You know? I'm just watching her. She's in school right now, but it'll be rewarding for her, hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Way of life. I remember your speech, you know, you're like, I got all my emotions out, before, you know, because I never tell anybody they're going to get their black belts, but right. I just ask people to show up, right?
Right.
But you're like, yeah, I got emotional that because I might be getting my black belt, you know?
Right, right.
And I remember that, you know, just like, you know, how much emotion, how much we all think about all the, I mean, it's so long, right? And mm-hmm. So all the things we go through and just kind of puts everything in perspective or puts everything in the, like in a moment,
right.
All those years, right? All
right.
The relationships, all the good times and the bad times.
The bad times, yeah. And the injuries. Right.
What's a bottom moment?
When I was a purple belt. You know, you're in this journey so long that sometimes, you know, you start slowing down, right? And you know, your ego's still there, right? I mean, you know, a lot of people say, you know, you keep it at the door, but it's there.
Yeah,
right?
Of course, it helps us, right?
It helps
at the
us
right times.
The right times, right? And so when I was a purple belt, I felt like I wasn't improving, right? So it came down to I even joined a gym, a boxing gym, while I was still coming here, because I was here. I even told my wife, babe, I don't know if I'm going to continue this. You know, I was demoralized. I would get caught, like, man, I can't believe I got caught today, you know? Even though everybody gets caught every day, every day.
If you don't train, you don't get caught, right?
Right. And so that was a pivotal moment in my training because I really wanted to quit. I was coming in maybe once a week at most. And then my wife goes, babe, a purple belt, maybe that was like 2014. She goes, you've been in this journey since 2008 and you're going to throw it all away now, right?
Damn.
She goes, you've put in so much time. You're already halfway. Why quit now? And then that this light bulb came on, you know? So I got through purple belt, and then my brown belt, that was probably the most active. My brown belt run, I was literally here like 4 days a week, you know, because, you know, this is the run now, you know? I think they call that the Bushido belt or whatever. That was the lowest moment for me, thinking about quitting. And it took my wife to actually just, you know, slap me in the head. You know, it's like, you know, you put in so many years. Why stop now?
Let's talk about legacy. Like, you know, like when you know, we're all getting a little bit older, right? We're still young. You still look the same age when, you know, the good Asian genes, Filipino. So, like at the end of the day, what do you want to leave behind?
Right. That's a great question, Professor, because, you know, I'm 50, right? So I'm older than you are. And then start thinking about that, right? Because, you know, let's look at the life expectancy, right? Most people will die in their 70s. Some people will get lucky 80s, 90s, right? But let's just go for averages here. So I'm thinking, wow, I'm already like two-thirds done. Two-thirds done, right? You know, what legacy will I leave, right? And then, of course, you know, not to put religion in this subject, but, you know, let's just talk about spirituality, right? I do believe that, you know, there's something out there after we die, right?
Raw energy, right?
Right, yeah. And then,
it's real.
And then you start thinking about everything that you've done in life, right? But none of that matters, right? What matters is how you make people feel. How you made your family feel. It's not the wealth. It's not the titles. And of course, there are, you know, historical accomplishments. Like, of course, you're a fighter, you won world titles. That'll always be there, right? Not everyone will have that. I don't have that, right? So, you know, 100 years from now, no one's going to remember that Gus was, you know, was a chief executive. No one's going to remember that. In fact, nobody will care, right? So as I go through my life, I'm starting to think, you know, the only thing that matters is family, God, and friendship, right? And along the way, you keep yourself healthy so that you can be here for your family, right? But that's really the only thing that really matters now.
The relationships.
The relationships. You know, my wife tells me, and she's always level-headed, you know, they're not going to remember you, even if you're a doctor or whatever, you're a general. You know what they're going to remember? How you made him feel. Yeah. So I think I'm at a point in my life that, wow, you know.
That's everything.
Yeah, that's everything.
Well, thank you for your friendship.
Thank you,
your
Professor.
Loyalty, making me feel good. The laughs, right? Lots of laughs.
Lots of laughs.
And your dedication, your example.
You know, thank you.
For everybody around, you know, it's truly inspiring. And like I said, I really appreciate everything.
You too, Professor. You know, with me, it's all about hierarchy just because of my military background. And I've always, you know, one of the people that I look up to is you, you know, just the example. You know, I mean, you pursued MMA, you lived your dream, and you accomplished everything along the way, you know. So really appreciate your guidance.
Thank you. Well. Thank you, my friend.
Yeah.